We're holding at the beginning of Perek Vav. Richie has been waiting very, very patiently for this grand moment of Ohalot Perek Vav, Mishnah Aleph. And we shall begin the Perek with our words from the Hilchot Talisker. Okay, we're starting now to explain some very fascinating issues, which, by the way, they come up, something similar comes up at the dinim of a sukkah also. Remember, in a sukkah, you've got a problem. If your schach is perfectly kosher schach, but your smichus of the schach, that which is holding up the schach, is not kosher schach, and it would be makabel tuma. So everybody goes crazy with this, right? Make sure you use a little piece of wood to support the schach. Interestingly enough, we have a similar issue when it comes to the question of the ohel. So suppose you've got a perfectly normal ohel, which ought to be able to prevent the tuma from going past it. Now let's remember, before we begin, when we're talking about an ohel, we have to talk about two issues. We're talking about the ohel preventing the tuma from getting beyond it, so it could be chotzitz b'fnei ha-tuma, and we're talking also about an ohel spreading tuma. So once there's tumah in any spot in the house, it's going to hit the roof and spread over everything, right? So that's a completely different pu'ula. Now, the question is, how about if you have an ohel that is only there because something that is makabel tumah is holding it up? Let's say a human being. So these human beings are walking along, carrying along this big daf or this big rock. So the Adam and the Kalim that are supporting, they can create an ohel for one of the two things. Namely, anything that they walk over will spread the tumah no matter where they are. Now that you've got the headphone in, I can wave. Without the headphone, what's the point? So that tumah, if it passes over something, is going to be affected by the ohel. Yes, but it's not going to be useful to be metayer things on top of it, because it doesn't block the tumah. And therefore, if you've got kalim supporting something, since the kalim are mekabel tumah, they can't block tumah, people can't block tumah, and therefore neither can the block tumah. And it can only spread tumah. Let me give you an example. Ketzad. We've got four people walking along the street, and they're carrying this big stone. So it's a nidbach that was going to be used as a paving stone. And there's tumah now under this rock as I walk along, then the din is anything that is under the rock is makabel tumah, because it doesn't block the tumah from going up, but it allows the tumah to spread under the block. If there's tumah on top of the block, it doesn't stop the tumah from penetrating downwards. Remember, tumah goes both up and down. Gabi, to the right and the left as well. What's this, just up and down? So the tumah will go up and down. If there's tumah on top of it, then it will not stop the tumah from actually penetrating downwards. So in that case, kalim that are on top of it, to going upwards, will be penetrated by the tumah, and they will be tumei. And the same thing would be true if tumah is on top of it. It doesn't stop the tumah, and the tumah will come in from on top to the bottom. And kalim tachtav, therefore, will be tameim. So there they will be tameim, even though the tumah was not directly connected that, because it'll spread it, and therefore it was anywhere under the block, it will be considered to be tameim. Rabbi Eliezer says, no. Even if it's being held up by humans, it is still going to stop tumah from penetrating it, and the oil per se is going to be a kosher oil, and therefore it'll stop the tumah from penetrating up or down, and of course it will spread the tumah. Now, moving on. How about a different case? How about where you've got a stone that is on top of kalim? And when I say kalim, I don't mean kalim that are mekabel tumah. I'm saying kalim, even like klei gelalim, klei avanim, things that are certainly not going to be mekabel tumah. And af al pikein, since, remember, kalim cannot be an ohel, because kalim are kalim. It's nothing to do with whether they're macabre tumor or not. So over here, if those kalim are supporting this big stone, then the din is that if the tumor is underneath it, the stone will not prevent the tumor from cutting through. And if there's kalim on top of it, the kalim will be tumein. If there's tumor above the stone, if it hits anything underneath it, it also doesn't prevent the tumor from coming down. And, of course, Rabbi Eliezer would disagree because he holds it the same as the person. So, tuma, if the tuma is above, then all the kalim underneath it would be Torah, according to Rabbi Eliezer as well. Now, what would be the din when you have something that is put on a building material? So suppose you put this big stone piece on four avanim, or you put it on something not human that is alive, but can't be mekabel tuma. So dover sheyesh bo ruach chayim. So let's say you've got it on top of the shvarim. And remember the case. There is a case like that, which we're going to be getting to in Masechet Parah, where they used to put these doors on top of the shor for the kids to go out to get the water with. And the question is, would that be chaytzeitz b'fnei atuma? That's going to end up being a big chelek of this whole sugya. So if it was on top of something like that, then it's perfectly good oil. And if the tumah is underneath it, so then anything on top of it is tohar. Because avanim and living things that are not human can stop tumah. And if since they themselves can stop tumah, so too is something that they support can stop tumah. If the tumah is al gabav, then the kelim shetachtov are tahorin because it stops the tumah. Now, the same thing is true about something that is vertical. We've been talking something that's horizontal. It's going to block the tumah. What would be the din if a mechitza that is being supported by humans or by a kli, would that be able to block tumah? Let's say the you've got a door, and the door is now being blocked by a kli. So the question is, if you're going to support that whole wall by a person, would that be considered to be an actual mechitza? Let's imagine another case, therefore. So you've got these people that are going to a funeral. They're carrying a mace. Now what they're about to do is they're going to walk through a porch, and there's a doorway to a house on the porch that's open. So somebody who's carrying the mace in this funeral procession sees that the door is open, runs onto the porch and slams the door, and he puts a key in and closes the door with the key. So then that would mean that the only way that the door is kept closed is because he closed it with the key. Maybe. So then it depends. If this door would have stayed closed, even if I hadn't latched it, because I only latched it so that people won't come and open it. It's not the door blows open all the time if I don't lock it. So then the house is tar because it's not dependent on the key being something that is mekabel tumah. But if not, then you got a big problem, because then since the entire door is only being supported by this key, then the moment that the mace comes under the roof of the merpeset, the door that is open, being as it's more than the tefach, obviously, is going to allow the tumah to come right into the house and be metame the things in the house. The same thing would be true where you have things that you put inside of a window. Let's imagine, question is like this. The mace is passing by the porch, and there was a window that was open, but the window that was open was filled with, let's say, dried figs, or it was filled with a kupa shel tevin. We're talking about over here that they are not mukshel lekabel tumah, so they were never exposed to water, and they're all dried out, so there's no way that they're going to be mitameh. But they're obviously held in place by a box of some kind, right? A kupa shel tevin, or you've got a barrel. Now, a barrel and a box are mekabel tumah. So we have an interesting question. Can we strip the box away from its contents and therefore say, essentially what we have in this window is a pile of dried tevin, and therefore it could block the tumor or not. It's the same exact question that we had in the previous case. Because in this case, the box or the barrel is the equivalent of the key. And it's what's holding everything together. Maybe. So it depends. If I would strip carefully the box and the contents would still be stuck together and would remain in the window, then the window is blocked. But if it's only being held together by the box, since the box itself is macabre tumor, then it's as if there's nothing blocking the window. And then the tumor can go through the window. So, without the box, without the barrel. So then it keeps the house, or if it's between two rooms, it would keep it tahor, because they could stay there on their own. But if not, then they need the box. And that means that they're only being supported by something that's macabre tumor. And one last case, suppose there's a mace in one room of a house, but the room was separated from the rest of the house by making a partition that is made out of these jugs. Now, I'm sure those of you in Eretz Yisrael have seen this type of thing very often on the very old mirpasot, especially in Arab areas. You can see that they use a lot of Coke bottles, put them on their side, and they pour cement over them. And then that allows the light to come through. But it's a solid mechitza because it's supported by cement. Now, that's what you did over here. So you covered v'tach petit. You covered the entire thing with plaster now, right? So now the question is this plaster capable of standing on its own? So then it's a perfectly valid mechitza. But if this plaster is essentially supported by Coke bottles, then it's obviously in need of a kli to be able to stand. Then it becomes the same as the door that has a key in the door. V'im lav tamei. So then the house becomes tamei because you don't have a valid mechitza. So very beautifully, we have three lovely indications of what the difference would be of a mechitza that stands, whether it's vertical or horizontal, is supported only by a dover that's mekabel tumah, or by a human being who can be mekabel tumah as well.